Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you so much for tuning in to Just Us Talks with Tisha. I am your host, Tisha Hillman. If you are tuning in for the first time, I am a Maryland-based attorney practicing in the areas of family law, criminal law, and also personal injury. Now, I want to talk about the NFL protest. Because if you are tuning in for the first time, I usually start off my show talking about things that are happening in our country, because these are things that impact our daily lives. And most of the things that we deal with, if not all of the things, I would venture to say, that we deal with in life have some sort of impact either in the law or the laws impact these things. But either way, I want to talk about the NFL protest. And the reason being is because the First Amendment of the Constitution is being violated with the anti-protesters and those who are saying, well, we're going to boycott the NFL, we're going to boycott this because, you know, they're disrespecting our flag, they're disrespecting our country. That is absolutely people's First Amendment rights to do so. If you want to, I saw a gentleman on, I think it was on Facebook yesterday, a white gentleman who, I think he stated that he was a season ticket holder, and he burned his season ticket. Now, here's the thing. You've already spent the money, so whether you go or not is totally up to you, but they already have your money. So you can be an idiot if you want and burn the tickets and do what you feel you must, but they already have your money. But when it comes to these NFL protests, the problem that I have, well, let me back up for a second. One of the primary problems that I have is that you have the President of the United States, who obviously should be doing more important things than stating his disdain for people taking a knee during the, you know, before the flag and at these NFL games. And we'll talk about those other things that he should be doing in just a minute. But the president is chiming in and refers to the NFL players who are protesting as basically as ungrateful sons of bitches. Now, first of all, I've never in my lifetime heard of a United States president speaking out and condemning people's First Amendment or constitutional right to do what it is that they are allowed to do under the Constitution. Because remember, the president is charged with protecting the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. The people who are protesting are not enemies to the Constitution. They're not enemies to our country. But for the president to come out and to condemn the players' right to protest what they deem to be grievances, one of the things that is allowed in our country, in a democracy, which is another thing, but in a democracy, one of the beautiful things is that you don't have to agree in order to understand and to appreciate someone's constitutional right to do what it is that they're doing. You don't have to agree, but it is constitutional for them to be able to do so. And so I think it's very interesting and very telling that this president would come out and condemn these people and use such strong language to condemn them for merely exercising what they are allowed to do in order for their redress of grievances in their home country. And that's very problematic because the thing that I want to discuss is, when is it okay for black people to protest? When is it okay for black people in this country to petition our government for redress of grievances? When is it okay? And if you look back at history, you'll see that even during the Civil Rights Movement, when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a peaceful demonstrator walking arm in arm along the Edmund Pettus Bridge with all the other civil rights icons and all the other people that were walking alongside him, they were still met with resistance. When you had civil rights demonstrators sitting at lunch counters and integrating schools and trying to exercise what the Constitution says they have in terms of freedoms, in terms of equality, in terms of justice, in terms of freedom, all of these things, they have consistently been met with having dogs sicked on them, being spat upon, beaten, some being murdered, in 2017 being called disrespectful sons of bitches. I mean, whatever it may be, anytime a black person in this country has protested and petitioned our government and our country for redress of grievances, we have been met with resistance every single step along the way. And so my question is, when and how should black people petition their government, petition their country, petition our country? When should we do that? When is it appropriate? Because clearly it's not appropriate to do so at a lunch counter. It's not appropriate to do so at a school. It's not appropriate to do so just walking. It's not appropriate to do so shouting Black Lives Matter. It's not appropriate to do so taking a knee. None of these things are appropriate. It's not appropriate to be silent. It's not appropriate to shout Black Lives Matter. It's not appropriate to just walk. It's not appropriate to just sit. What is appropriate? And the thing is, people, when you look at our Constitution, and I've said this before on previous shows, this country is really at a very, very fragile place. And that's why I really wanted to dedicate a lot of time talking about this today. Because the thing that I always say is, as a country, we have to decide who we want to be as a country. When we talk about being a democracy, when we talk about having such a love for country and talk about patriotism and what that looks like, who is it that defines patriotism? And I talk a lot on this show about racism and white supremacy because have really crippled our country in terms of equality. And until we are really willing to address that, we are not going to be able to progress in any sort of meaningful way. Now, yes, there have been advancements in terms of the Civil Rights Act, in terms of the Voting Rights Act, in terms of women's rights. There have been advancements. But it pains me to know that here we are, some 50, 60 years outside of the Civil Rights Act, and yet we're still relitigating the same issues. We're still discussing some of these very same issues that the civil rights leaders did so in the 1950s and 60s. And so, folks, it's really imperative to maintaining our democracy if that's what we want to be. We have to decide if we still want to even be a democracy. Because I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine yesterday, and it really hit me that our country has gotten to a place where it is the supporters of this current administration versus everyone else. And that's how the media, that's how everyone speaks in terms of our country at this point. It is who you voted for versus everybody else. And that's a very fragile place because people have the right to vote for whomever they want. But you get the consequences of who you vote for. And so the things that we're seeing right now in terms of division in this country should not really be shocking given all of the divisive statements that were made during the campaign of 2016 with respect to this current president. And so that's really something that we need to examine as individual people in this country. We need to really examine what is really important to us, how we want to see our children and our legacy being lived out. Because if we are going to continue to be a democracy, then we have to address the fact that we really have a dictator in office. Because anytime you have a president who is literally obstructing the constitutional rights of other people, that is very, very dangerous. Anytime you have a president who sets it up as, you know, people who support me and my haters, right, that's problematic. Anytime you have a president who attempts to silence, ridicule, or get rid of anyone who does not support his position, his agenda, his thought process, folks, we are on our way, if not currently, in a full-blown dictatorship, and I've said that before. But until we are willing to address the issues and what got us here is the unwillingness of Americans to address the elephant in the room, the elephant that has been in this room since 1619. The elephant that has been in this room is that racism. And folks, racism doesn't just look like, you know, wearing swastikas and, you know, carrying a Confederate flag and shouting death to Jews. That's one extreme view of racism. Racism looks like the microaggressions that we see every day in our country. Racism looks like being afraid of the quote-unquote browning of America. Racism looks like we are going to kick out all of the brown people in this country under the guise of they might be a terrorist. Well, if that's the case, then we should kick out all the white men who, because, you know, when it comes to school shootings and church shootings and theater shootings, those are the people who have terrorized our communities, right? Those are the people who terrorized people in Charlottesville. Those are the people who killed Heather Heyer in Charlottesville, right? Kick out all the white men. Where does it stop? But the fact that this country wants to kick out the brown people, either by deportation, you know, under the guise of protecting our borders, you know, from Mexico and immigrants, but interestingly enough, we're not really exercising that same attitude when it comes to immigrants from European countries. Think about our current First Lady is an immigrant from a European country who actually came here illegally. She was here illegally for a period of time, but that's not being discussed because when we talk about immigration in this country, we're really talking about brown people, right? We're really, and that's the thing, folks, that I think that those are the conversations that we're not really willing to have. People are afraid of the browning of America, either by Muslims or by Mexicans and other Spanish-speaking immigrants. And so these are the things that we got to look at because racism is not just the overt white demonstrators that want to murder people, right? Racism is sometimes addressing coworkers or colleagues or whomever who may be doing something that is either discriminatory or bigoted or, you know, just something that is stereotypical. You know, talking about stereotypical ways. These are the things that we need to address, folks, because our country has a problem. And what we don't get to do is say we love and love this country so much that we are going to condemn any person who kneels before our flag when they should be grateful, right? And they should be standing and so proud of this country, and then say, we're going to kick out the brown people, though. Or then say, we love our Constitution and we respect our Constitution and people's constitutional rights, but not yours. Because that's essentially what we're saying. And we got to call a thing because the First Amendment of these United States gives us the freedom to speak, the freedom to say what's on our minds, the freedom to demonstrate, the freedom to peacefully protest, the freedom to associate with whomever, all of these things. But we don't get to dictate who gets to have these freedoms. And that's where we are. And we have to address those things. And I challenge every single person who listens to this show, who is a non-black, that means white folks, right? I challenge you to really, really check your heart and where you are. Because the laws in this country were set up the way they were for a reason. That is the reason why there are three branches of government, because there is a such thing as checks and balances, so that nobody, you know, goes on a crazy, you know, a crazy whirlwind with power. And that is why it was said a lot during the campaign that you cannot run a country the way you run a business. It's not the same. Because guess what? You don't get to fire people that don't agree with you. That's not how this works. Especially high-ranking officials like the FBI director. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do those things. And so here we are in a place in our country where the head of the Drug Enforcement Agency handed in his letter of resignation yesterday. Because his statement was, it has become clear that this president does not respect the rule of law. Folks, we are in a dangerous, dangerous place. And we really need to have the uncomfortable conversations that we don't want to have. Because these are the things that impact our daily lives. And that is why I talk about it on this show. Because the things that happen in our country as they relate to race relations directly impact some laws in our country. And right now, we're really talking about the First Amendment and the right of people to protest the grievances that they have in this country. And so, folks, take some time, really think about that, and I challenge you to talk to your family, talk to your friends, talk to other white folks about this, because we really have to deal with this issue if we are going to remain a democracy, because we cannot dictate who has constitutional rights and who does not, because either we're going to respect the Constitution or we're not. And if we're not, then we should. Closeted racism is coming out by faux patriotism. And so when it comes to addressing the NFL protest, patriotism has really been reserved for white people in this country, because what's happening and what has happened is that it's almost as if other people don't have the right to claim to be a patriot and then have complaints about the country. And that's one of the beautiful things about a democracy, is that you can very well criticize this country, because we don't live in North Korea. You can openly criticize the country and still be a patriot, because we cannot say you're not respecting our veterans by protesting. Because the very reason in wars, the very reason that people fight in the armed forces, that people are deployed and away from their loved ones, is to protect democracy, is to protect our very right to do what it is that the NFL players are doing. Because the question I think that we should ask ourselves is, if the NFL were comprised mainly of white folks and white folks were kneeling before the flag, would there be an uproar? And I guarantee you the answer would be no. Because the issue that we're not really willing to say is that we don't want black folks to be able to protest anything in this country, because the thing that I've heard repeatedly throughout all of these protests is they need to be grateful. They are ungrateful. And that is one of the biggest dog whistle words that we know as black people, ungrateful. Because what that really means is you should be grateful for the things that we have allowed you. You should be grateful that we allowed you the right to vote. You should be grateful that we allowed you the things that we did under the Civil Rights Act. You should be grateful that we have allowed you the freedoms to which we have allowed you. And the fact that you are protesting that very country that has given you these freedoms makes you ungrateful. Folks, that's dangerous territory. Because we are really, when this administration says, take our country back, they have really taken our country back 50 years. And so, it feels as if we are living once again in the 1960s. And it's scary. Another one of the scary things that's happening in this country is the threat of nuclear war. Because we have a president that is going, talking about national security issues via Twitter and talking about, the way that the U.S. will respond in devastating ways to any threats, by North Korea. And the thing we know about North Korea is they don't care, right? They don't care. And so the soldiers in North Korea, I've watched some of the videos of the way that they train their soldiers in North Korea. These people are ready to die, right? And so to threaten a country with a leader that is as unstable as Kim Jong-un is so scary, because he does not care about testing nuclear warheads and threatening and possibly sending one of the nuclear weapons that they have in North Korea to reach our mainland. And that is very scary. And to know that we have a president that is so consumed with adulation, even if it's false adulation, that, he would threaten a leader as unstable as Kim Jong-un and put us all at risk. Folks, these are just very, very scary times. And so as an attorney, what I say to you is this. One, address the know that you have a constitutional right to protest in this country, to peacefully assemble. You have the right to do those things. And no one has the right to tell you. No one has the market on what it means to be a patriot. No one has the market on what it means to protest. No one has the market on that. And so you have a First Amendment constitutional right to kneel before the flag, to not stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. You have a right to do those things. And those rights are protected under the Constitution. That is the first thing. The second thing is, make sure you vote. Make sure that you know who you're voting for. Because I saw this very, very scary poll on, I think it must have been Twitter or something like that, where I guess, you know, I don't know how many people were polled. But essentially what they found out was a scary number of people, and I honestly, I don't remember the percentages, but a scary number of people don't know that there are three branches of government. A scary number of people don't know what each branch of government does. And, you know, these are elementary school concepts. And so we really have to educate ourselves once again, because these are the things that are important in our daily lives. And we see full throttle right now why it's important to have a leader that we really believe in and to really know who, you know, and really voting for when we go in that voting booth. But folks, that's going to wrap up my social justice portion of it. And I know it's taken up a lot of time today, but I thought those things were very important because a lot of people are confused. And maybe it's not confusion. Maybe it's people are very aware of what they're doing. But I want to be clear and tell people that you have a constitutional right to protest and to take your grievances to this country, because that is what a democracy is all about. And now I do want to clear up something that I said in a previous show. I think it may have been last week or the week before. And I talked about some of the new laws that were going to be in effect as of October 1st, which is shockingly, I think it's Saturday. Or at some point this weekend, but new laws go into effect in the state of Maryland on October 1st. And so I talked about a law that no longer allows you to use interim, temporary, and final protective orders in custody and divorce hearings. And I did a little bit more digging because the source from which I got the information turns out was incorrect. And so I want to issue an apology to anyone who may have heard that and acted on that, or, you know, done something based on that information, because that information was incorrect. And so before I state what the new information is, I want to, again, check the sources, check several sources, because there was conflicting information. People, maybe the language in the bill was not 100% clear, and so I think people are confused about it, hence my confusion. So before I really say anything about that, I just wanted to clear that up and say that that information was incorrect. And so what I'm going to do on my next show is I will clear that information up after having done research and making sure that I'm clear on things. But folks, we are out of time, but thank you so much for tuning in. Always remember that when it comes to the law and it comes to making decisions for your families about legal issues, sometimes you have to realize that at the end of it all, it's just us. So until next time, folks, take care. Join us next time on Just Us Talks with Tisha. Have a great week.